first came to Bergen County, so before I even made it to Bergenfield, I was the Rav in Paramus for several years. So the first year that I was there was a Rosh Hashanah Shechalios B'Shabbos, like this year. So I gave all my Rosh Hashanah B'Shabbos Shiurim, all my drushes, all my Shiurim, all the Torahs and everything. And then, lo and behold, the next year, happened to have been a quirk of the calendar, 2 years in a row, it was a Rosh Hashanah B'Shabbos. I had a chazer of everything again. Then I had a year of a break. And then the next year, and the following year, it was a very strange issue with the calendar. 4 out of 5 years, Rosh Hashanah Chas B'Shabbos. So I was hoping that the Gemara says that Shia Shicha Yid Beis Chodesh, that people tend to forget after 12 months. I was hoping people would remember what I said last time. But we haven't had a Rosh Hashanah Chas B'Shabbos ready in quite some time, the way the calendar has been. And therefore, I don't feel so guilty throwing all the ammunition, throwing all the shiur about the same topic. So the truth is that we just finished in our shul over the last 4 months of Shabbos. As many of you I see on the Zoom have joined us for the shiurim also. So we gave a whole series of shiurim over the last 4 weeks about the intricacies of tkiyah shofar on Rosh Hashanah Chas B'Shabbos, or the lack thereof. So on the one hand, I felt that how could it be the last, Wednesday night shiur before Rosh Hashanah, not to talk about the uniqueness of Rosh Hashanah Chas B'Shabbos. On the other hand, it's not even shiur shicha 3 days. I just gave the last shiur of Mitzvah Shabbos. I'm going to try not to repeat from that shiur. That's why I was very careful in how I wrote the title of the shiur. It's the unique status of Rosh Hashanah Chas B'Shabbos, not concerned with kishofa, something along those lines. Because we're not really going to talk about kishofa. We're going to talk about everything else, about Ochos Tefillah, and Hagim that we have and don't have, Rosh Hashanah Chas B'Shabbos, a lot of different other aspects, almost tangential to shofa proper, get touched by the uniqueness of Rosh Hashanah Chas B'Shabbos. We'll try to spend a little bit of time understanding some of the status of this particular Kedushas Hayom coming up upon us. And the truth is that some of the things we're going to talk about actually are relevant even for the next couple of weeks, because whenever you have Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos, by definition, so the Yom Shabbos mode, the fusion of the Kedushas, is something that's going to be a repetitive theme at least the next couple of weeks throughout Chodesh Tishrei. Let's try to go back to the beginning and try to understand what are some of the unique halachas that are going to happen when you have this combination of different kedushas hayoms. So the first thing that begins whenever you talk about any kedushas hayom is when exactly does that kedushas hayom begin? So we know it's a very, very complicated sugya in the Sefer Berachot Masechet Shabbos, which demarcates exactly when Shabbos begins, when Yontif begins, when Shabbos ends, when Yontif ends. The halachic principles of shkia, of sunset, it's kechavim, the stars coming out, all those things we spoke about many times in the past. I'm not going to go down with that right now. But suffice it to say, in addition to when this man actually begins, there's also a notion called tosefes. There's a mitzvah to begin the Shabbos of the Yom Tov early, to start off, to refrain from doing those activities that you're not allowed to do at Shabbos and Yom Tov, to begin even a little bit before the Shabbos of Yom Tov actually starts. And that's the mitzvah of tosefes Shabbos of Yom Tov. So truth to be told, there is a big machlokus in the Rishonim, whether that mitzvah of Tosefes is actually true even on a regular Shabbos and regular Yom Tov. There's one opinion, the Shittas Rambam, that that mitzvah actually is limited to Yom Kippur. Based on other sugyas in the Gemara, that Yom Kippur you have to actually begin early. Regular Shabbos and Yom Tov, there's no real need to begin early. You can't do malacha after Shkia, obviously, but there's no need to be mosi b'chol HaKodesh. So the Shulchan Aruch mitzvah reference to both opinions. Shulchan called Yesh Omrim, for those who have the opinion that there is a mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos and Yom Tov, every single Shabbos and Yom Tov. And the Rambam is the dissenting view that there is no such mitzvah except vis-a-vis Yom Kippur in a certain sense of the word. So normally what our practice is that we try to assume that there is a mitzvah of Tosefes on regular Shabbos and regular Yom Tov. And therefore, vis-a-vis Malacha, we definitely refrain from doing Malacha before the Shabbos and Yom Tov begins. And according to some opinions, not only do we refrain from doing malacha, but we actually usher in the Kedushas Hayom. We formally, verbally usher in the Kedushas Hayom a little bit early by the recitation of some kind of a form of Kabbalah Shabbos. What is that Kabbalah Shabbos? Well, Kabbalah Shabbos can either be Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, can be L'Chadodi. There are a lot of different possible things that could cover as Kabbalah Shabbos. So in theory, in the perfect world, we should really be Mekabel Shabbos every week, before Shkia. Shkia is the earliest time when Shabbos literally starts, sunset. So the proper time to actually recite the L'chadodi, Mizmashir, whatever you consider to be your ushering of Shabbos, is really prior to Shkia. The way our shuls are wired, the way our setup and our schedules are, so it usually doesn't happen that way. usually what ends up happening is that Tosefa Shabbos and Yontif kind of doesn't really happen, at least in the verbal sense of the word, until after Shkia, which is probably a little bit too late, the midst of Tosefa. So there are different opinions about how to deal with that, how to deal with that situation on a regular Shabbos and regular Yontif. So there are some of the opinion that even though our shuls aren't going to make it in time, we should try ourselves. We make Kabbalah Shabbos early. So many people have the practice of making a formal Kabbalah, whether they say Mizrach Shil Yom Shabbos early, or whether they say, as soon as they finish Mincha on Friday, they say, Harei Mekabel Kedushas Shabbos, some kind of a formal Kabbalah Sayom, that is to fulfill that mitzvah of Tosefes, even according to the Machmir. And there are others who are making, others who are relying, you can rely on the Rambam, or they're relying on the fact that you don't need a formal verbal Kabbalah as long as you're refraining from Halacha. So there are different opinions what happens on a regular Shabbos. So on Rosh Hashanah, things get a little bit tricky for an almost like neta halachic reason. L'chora, the same way that one should begin Shabbos early, one should begin regular Yontif early, Rosh Hashanah is no less. Why should we not jump the gun on Rosh Hashanah? Why shouldn't we fulfill in the fullest sense Osif Michal HaKadosh? So there is a tradition that's quoted in the name of the Maharil that on Rosh Hashanah, somehow we don't jump into things. We don't run into the Mekabel Rosh Hashanah Mevi'al Yom because Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Hadin. And this is almost part of the very nature of Rosh Hashanah's being. On the one hand, it's a Yontif. On the other hand, it's a Yom Hadin. So it's not, you know, we're happy that it's here. On the other hand, we're not so excited that it's here. We're a little bit nervous that it's here because we're not so running to the judgment so fast. So the Yom HaDin will come and will come, but there's no great mitzvah, so to speak, to jump the gun on the Yom HaDin. So therefore, there are some who have a custom that in Rosh Hashanah, they're not in a rush to go start too early. We don't want to get involved in too much Tosefos, too much early bird specials on Rosh Hashanah because of the significance, the severity of the Yom HaDin. One can argue that even those who follow that practice, maybe this year shouldn't follow that practice. Because this year, we're dealing with a Tosefes Shabbos. Tosefes Shabbos is a mitzvah, the other 50 plus Shabbos of the year. So even if you want to kind of hold off a little bit on Kabbalah's Yom, Rosh Hashanah maybe Yod Yom, not to have a Kabbalah Shabbos early, so that doesn't seem to be correct. But then could one theoretically walk almost like a very, very strange halachic tightrope? Kabbalah, a partial Kedusha. Can you say that I'm a Kabbalah Shabbos, but I'm not Yom Kippur Rosh Hashanah. Whatever the word, what that means, I'm not sure what it would mean. Practically, it wouldn't mean anything because once Yom Kippur Shabbos, you're not allowed to do any malachas. So Shabbos is more encompassing than Rosh Hashanah. But in theory, would such a concept even make any sense to have a partial Kedushas Hayom? I'll be Mekabel vis-a-vis one, and I won't be Mekabel vis-a-vis the other. So that's very, very theoretical question. I'm not recommending this, I'm not advocating this, but that theoretical question almost touches on a much more basic, fundamental question. It has some very real halachic ramifications. And that really permeates this entire month of Tishrei. We're going to have multiple Shabbos Yontif, Shabbos Yontif, Shabbos Yontif in the next couple of weeks. One could raise a fundamental chakir, a fundamental question. What's the nature of Kedushas Hayoms when you have two Kedushas Hayoms that coincide together? Is it pshat that the two different Kedushas? It happens to be Shabbos. And it happens to be Aleph Tishrei. And lo and behold, quirk of the calendar this year, the two Kedushas happen to both fall out of the same day. But one doesn't add to the other. One doesn't enhance the other. They're two separate and distinct Kedushas. What do I say now? Whenever you have a Shabbos Yontif together, it's almost like a new Kedusha. There's a new Chalashay. There's a new Kedusha Yom. The two Kedushas merge together to be called Shabbos slash Yontif. Yontif slash, whatever you want to call it. It's a Yontif Shachalos B'Shabbos. Yontif Shachalos B'Shabbos is not two separate Kedushas, but rather it's actually one Kedusha. This may be at the root of a machlekes ha-tenoim that appears in the second paragraph of Maseches Beitza. How do you daven? What's the nusach ha-tefillah when you have a Shabbos and Yontif together? So we are all familiar with how we're about to daven in 2 nights from now. We're going to begin Ma'ariv, we're going to say the Shemoneh Esrei, and we're going to conclude the brachas with Melech Kol Haaretz Mekadesh HaShabbos V'Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron. Or if it's a Shabbos 2 weeks from now, Sukkos, we're going to conclude with Mekadesh HaShabbos V'Yisrael V'Hazmanim. We're going to combine the Kedusha Shabbos and Kedusha Yontif into one bracha. But not everybody agrees to that. The Gemara quotes from the Sechaz Bein says that the Tanoim and Beishamai were of the opinion that no, that you should say two separate brachas. You should say Baruch Hashem Mekadosh Shabbos, and then say the Yontif and say Baruch Hashem Mekadosh Melech Haaretz Mekadosh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron or Mekadosh Yisrael V'Hazmanim. But you don't combine the two into one chesed. You don't make it into one bracha. You in effect have eight brachas. When you have Yontif and Shabbos coinciding, you have eight brachas rather than seven brachas. So it sounds almost like the Nekudas HaMachlokes at the point of contention is a very lumdish point, namely, are there really two separate Kedushas, or is it ultimately one brand new Kedusha, one Chalashay of a new Kedusha? We, Upaskin, of course, like Beis Hillel, we merge, we fuse the brachas into one, it sounds very much that we're assuming that it's actually one Kedushas Hayom. So there's a fascinating question that one could raise about this idea that they're really almost two different Kedushas Hayoms. What would the din be in the following case? Let's say a person daven Maya Mashach, daven for Rosh Hashanah, and he davens the Yontif davening, and he totally forgot to daven the Shabbos. The soul rang it in the Yom, and he forgot of Shabbos. Probably forgot of Shabbos. He didn't say Mekadosh Shabbos. Didn't say Shabbos Atamnucha. Didn't say anything. He just rattled through a rain. He missed all the brackets of the Machzor somehow. He thought one talking to him, so he skipped the whole Hakol Mikol Kol, and he davened the regular Yom davening. And then he realizes, I guess, from the Chaz, he gets up to say Vayechuz. Oh my goodness gracious! It's Friday night today. Come on. And the true spirit of Zohar Hashem Shabbos, he forgot of Shabbos. The first Shabbos, he forgot of Shabbos. So now what does he do? He goes back and he davens again. So he's a real chacham. He says, oh, I already was Yaitse Yontif davening. Now I'm going to go daven a regular Friday night davening. So he yanks out his Shabbos. He can't even find the Shabbos davening in his machzor. He has to go to the shelf. He yanks out a sitter. And he davens the regular Atikidash, the Rosh Hashem Shabbos. And now he's scratching his head and saying, wait a second, was I Yaitse Shmonesra or not? So one could argue, I'm Yaitse. I daven my Yontif to davening, and I daven my Shabbos to davening. So 2 and 2 equals 4. So I was maski Shabbos, I was maski Yontif. I'm covered on all bases. But do I say no? I wasn't. 2 and 2 is 4, but this is 6. This is not 4. This is a new Kiddush Sayyid. There's a new day. There's a new entity in the calendar called Yontif Shchalas B'Shabbos. Your Shmoneh Esrei, neither of your Shmoneh Esrei has reflected that phenomenon. So guess what? That's daven a third time. If this happened to a fellow Musaf Rosh Hashanah, he'll be here from here till Yom Kippur till he finishes davening really the third time. So the Chora, this Shaila, how to daven that I require to daven almost that third Shmoneh Esrei is indicative of this Shaila. So there's a famous bar from the Yosemeach. The Yosemeach brings a raya from a whole complicated sugin kochin and then the second zvachim to the effect that the Yosemeach claims that he thinks that it's mamash one new Kiddushas Hayom. There's a raya from the Gemara. It's literally like we're saying that's literally one new Kiddushas Hayom. If that's the case, the Gemara says that when you bring a, let's say you have a Shabbos and Yontif together, so when you bring the Korban Musaf of Shabbos, it's a Yontif Tikkun Musaf. A Yontif Tikkun Musaf is actually at a higher level of Kedusha than a Shabbos Tikkun Musaf for technical reasons. For, again, leaving out the details of Kashim right now. In the hierarchy of Korbanos, a Yontif Tikkun Musaf is more Kaddish than a Shabbos Tikkun Musaf, either because there are more animals or because it's a Kremoyed or because it's a Sar Machapas, whatever the reasons are. A Yontif Tikkun Musaf is on a higher level, and that's Kedim over Shabbos Tikkun Musaf. The Gemara says that when you have Shabbos and Yontif together, the Kedusha Sayyamtif of Musa permeates the Shabbos Tikka Kabbanis as well. So according to Dara Sameach, we come out when the Chazan davens for the Yomid on Yontif and Shabbos, or Shon and Shabbos, so many Chazanim like to switch back and forth in the Nigid. When they get to Yom Shabbos, Nechavosim, so they dip into the Shabbos Nigid, and then they jump back to the Yom Nerum Nigid, or the Shoshugam Nigid. So according to Dara Sameach, that Nigid is not really, it's not really correct up Yalocha. Again, I'm not coming down hard on the Chazanim. That's not a din what I'm saying. It's just an interesting insight that according to the longest of the halacha, it would seem that that minhag is almost reflecting something that's more in sync with Beis Shammai. That's more in line with Beis Shammai's reasoning that there are two different conditions they own. So we're suggesting that it's mamish one condition they own, so it's hard to split between the two. So getting back to the Tosefta Shabbos story, it would appear that the idea of splitting up conditions they own and saying a makabel half, not the other half, may not even exist. So again, everyone should whatever they do, but those who are mocked between Makabo Shabbos early every week, so I think they should be Makabo Shabbos any other realist. They should say, as soon as they finish Mincha, right before Shkia, they should say, those who are mocked with this all year long should say, Makabo, like the Shabbos, we are, and then they fulfill the Chaladeus, the potential deraisa, going to some Rishon, maybe a deraisa of Kabbalah Shabbos, Kabbalah Yontif, to Sefer Shabbos, and Yontif, Bibi Yod Yom. In the text of the Shmoneh Esrei, as well as in the text of the Kiddush, so we make a couple of changes when it's on Shabbos. Some of the changes are obvious. We mention Shabbos Samnucha. We say Kaddish Shabbos for Yisrael, etc. There's one change that we also make at Rosh Hashanah, which is a very, very questionable change of the halacha, and that's the insertion of the phrase Zichron Truah into the Kiddush, into the Shmoneh Esrei. On a regular Rosh Hashanah on Yom Chol, we say Yom Truah. On a Shabbos Rosh Hashanah, we say Yom Zichron Truah. The reason why this is so strange is because as we spoke about Shabbos Shiur over the last couple of weeks, that we paskin really like the Talmud Bavli, that in that Torah, you're actually supposed to blow shofar in Shabbos. That which it says in the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, that you don't blow shofar in Shabbos, that's only midrabbanan, we're afraid you're going to carry the shofar out of the Erev. But in that Torah, you're supposed to blow shofar. Therefore, the word Yom Truah, the word Zichron Truah, both refer to Shabbos, both refer to Chol. The Yerushalmi's understanding is that Yom Teruah blowing refers to Yom to a weekday, and Zichra Teruah, which means to think about, talk about the blowing, but not to actually blow, refers to Shabbos. So we don't pass like that. The halacha we pass in Yom Teruah, Zichra Teruah, it's all the same thing. So nevertheless, our Nusach HaTefillah almost reflects something that we don't really follow the halacha. It's not really accurate. It's not really a Yom Zichra Teruah on Shabbos. It's really Yom, so it's a real Yom Teruah, the same as all any other year. But somehow, some reason, in the Hilchos Tefillah, somehow in the Nischos HaTefillah, somehow the Yerushalmi Shita almost stopped. The Yerushalmi Shita takes precedence over the Bavli, and for a strange reason, that, again, some Akin, no, this is not Akin. We're saying Yom Teruah, Zichra Teruah, it's all the same thing, basically. But almost like a Merames, to remiss to the fact that it's Shabbos and we're not going to blow, so we insert the word Zichron Teruah, even though according to the pure halach, it's not really correct. There are many, many tefillahs, many piyutim that we change actually on the order, the many first day piyutim that we switch to the second day to the first day. There are some changes that we make, so you have to be careful in the davar, make sure you're saying the right thing at the right time. When it says on Sunday say this, on Tuesday say that, on Saturday say this, there's a reason for that. The reason is because many of the piyutim emphasize and focus on the shofar. So it's a little bit funny for us to build up the shofar. Like we're going to come through Rebbe Shlomo with Shachris and say, we're about to blow shofar in an hour. Well, you're kidding, not blowing shofar until tomorrow. Therefore, any of the piyutim that make great emphasis on the tkiyas, so we push those piyutim off until the second day, and we substitute the second day piyutim for the first day. So again, this is all a reflection of the fact that the ma'isa we're not going to blow. When the deraisa is our bottom, push comes to shove, bottom line is, nobody's going to blow. Maybe you're going to make will blow. But right now in Chutzla Mikdash, nobody's going to blow shofar. Either the Raisa Drabanan, we pass in Drabanan, but the Maisa is not going to blow. Therefore, the Piyutim and the Nusach Tefillah will reflect that. However, there are certain things in the davening that we leave out on Shabbos, which are not Rosh Hashanah per se. We actually leave them out on other Yom Tov as well. There are many, many Tchinas and Bakashas that we usually say in Yom Tov that we delete on Shabbos. Some of the more popular ones, the Ribbono Shel Olam, the ones that we say at the time of taking out the Sefer Torah. So those are things that are not said when you have a Shabbos and Yom Tov coinciding together. There are the special tefillahs in the middle of Duchy, in the middle of Birchas Kohanim. And say those things is because we try to stay away from Bakoshos on Shabbos. He spoke a little bit about this also in the Matzah Shabbos Shurim. There seems to be a machlokes to Badli and Yerushalmi. Is there an outright prohibition to be shol tzerachah, to ask for personal needs on Shabbos? So we probably paskin that it's okay, but nevertheless, we refrain from it. We don't have our personal tefillahs on Shabbos. And therefore, a lot of these kinds of tefillahs that are very, very bakosh oriented, so those kinds of things are put on hold when you have a yontif that falls out of Shabbos. Again, this is not Rosh Hashanah per se. This is under any yontif Shchas B'Shabbos. This is also responsible for the deleting of Yidu Malkeinu. Yidu Malkeinu also falls into that category of tefillahs that would not be apropos in terms of Shabbos. So a lot of these things we just mentioned happen to be true for Yom Kippur also. Yom Kippur Shchas B'Shabbos. We also, except for Ne'ilah, we leave out the Yidu Malkeinu, we leave out the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, a lot of those bakashas for whenever it happens to be on Shabbos. There are, of course, other changes that happen throughout the course of the day in different Yehugim that we have when you have Shabbos and Yotvos together. You have Rosh Hashanahs and Shabbos together. And one of the potential changes may be what a take is to the notion of fasting, or at least partial fasting in Rosh Hashanah. So there was actually a very, very old machlokes back already to the days of the Gaon and before the Rishonim, whether it's appropriate to fast on Rosh Hashanah or not. There were actually some opinions that maintained that not only is it appropriate, it's actually recommended, it's actually supposed to. It's lechatchili, supposed to fast on Rosh Hashanah. So Yom Adin, if you're not really supposed to eat, that was one opinion. And then there's the other opinion that we've adopted, that not only is it not recommended, it's not even permissible. That since Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tov, and according to many, it even has the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov, therefore, the fast would be actually Shulei Kiddin. So in Shulchan Aruch, we paskin that one is not allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah. However, even though we paskin that you're not allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah, the poskim write that to not eat until after Chatzos, that would be permissible. Normally, we have a practice not to fast past Chatzos on regular Shabbos or regular Yom. You're supposed to make Kiddush before a Chatzos. On regular Shabbos, you shouldn't go past halfway through the day without eating. That smacks a little bit like a tinus. There is a machlokes in the poskim. Does that mean that you just have to make kiddush before chatzos, or do you have to actually have the suda before chatzos? That's a shaila. Most people are very lenient on this in the winter time. Chatzos is 20 to 12. Many people aren't even home from shul then. So many people just to suffice with a quick short kiddush or mezonis, and then they'll have lunch an hour later. And some people are not to make sure to actually wash, at least begin the suda, the challah, because I said challah before chatzos. So that idea of not going past chatzos, that's like a quasi-tainus. It's not a real tainus, it's a rov tainus. It's mostly, you're already fasting more than half the day, that's like a shtickle, like a tainus on Shabbos. So we will refrain from doing that on a regular Shabbos in Yom Tov, but on Rosh Hashanah, the poskim write that minig is not to be careful about that. And the reason why we don't care about that in Rosh Hashanah is because there are some opinions that maintain you're allowed a mamash fast on Rosh Hashanah, fast the whole day in Rosh Hashanah. So according to some opinions, albeit you don't follow that, you can fast the entire day. So we'll have it, so we're not going to be so mashma, we're going to let you, and it's perfectly okay, it's legitimate to go past chatzos. Most shuls and most yeshivas, even chachila, they do this. The davening usually doesn't end until sometimes after chatzos, people don't get home until 1:30, 2 o'clock. Yeshivas don't be home too much later. So that's why we're not so mashma about fasting past chatzos. Many of the yeshivas have a custom, the Lutish yeshivas have a custom, that they actually do make kiddush on Rosh Hashanah, on the regular Rosh Hashanah, because the davening goes so long, they finish 3-4 o'clock, it's hard for the daven musaf, so they do break a little bit. The break always causes a problem in terms of tekiya shofar, because the chetchil, you're never really supposed to eat before tekiya shofar. So the answer is that it's called achilas haroi, it's just a little snack, a little one piece of cake, so it's not the end of the world, so that you're allowed to. I remember when I was in Kaviyadna, so they had that minute, you know, many of the yeshivas had that custom of having a short kiddush before the kiddush offer. So I remember at the time, the Posek told us that we should only have a kezias of cake, shouldn't have a kebetz of cake, because having an egg's worth is really almost twice, three times the size of a kezias, so that already is a concern, according to some, of having an achilas kevah, that's like almost having a whole meal. So we try to only have a kezias. On the onion, you shouldn't have less than a kezias. If you have less than a kezias, then you're not yet to kiddush makom suda. So I remember in Kambiyam, they actually cut the cake for you. They measured the piece of cake. Everyone got one piece of cake. There were no doubles on Rosh Hashanah. I don't know if there were doubles on the other Shabbos. I can't tell you. But Rosh Hashanah, if you had a Shabbos, regular Rosh Hashanah, there were no doubles for cake, because you're only entitled to a kezayis. You weren't entitled to a kebetz. It should be considered eating before the kishav. I have to be honest that I davened in Yeshivas Tells in Riverdale for many, many years. And I was a bochum. I used to get married. I used to go back there. And they also had kiddush, like the minigan, the Lipish Yeshivas. I don't remember anybody measuring cake. I don't remember anyone making a fuss about having more than a kibbutz. Whatever, I'm not saying that much cake either, but whatever cake there was, people like. So whatever it is, there are some yeshivas they eat before, but most of the shuls don't have that practice. So the question that some folks can raise is that practice of fasting past chatzos is justifiable on a weekday. What about on Shabbos? So should we be concerned? Should we say that on Shabbos it's not right? Because even though Rosh Hashanah does it, perhaps prohibit the quasi-fasting, but maybe Shabbos should. So there's a machlekes and poskim about that. So some poskim machmer, some machmer on that. When you have Rosh Hashanah Shchalos b'Shabbos, so you have to finish the davening to get people to get home before Chatzos, you have to make kiddush. So I don't think there are going to be any kiddushes. I would hope that there are no kiddushes going on this particular Rosh Hashanah for many, many more significant reasons than just the concern before Musaf or anything like that. So nobody should be having public kiddushes in any tents or any structure anywhere else this year on Rosh Hashanah or any other Shabbos in Yom Tov, for that matter, during this particular Tkufa. But in terms of really requiring you to make sure to eat before Chatzai, so there are many who are lenient on this. And perhaps part of the reason is the throwback we said before, that it's not really Shabbos. I mean, it is Shabbos, but it's Rosh Hashanah Dika Shabbos. So the Rosh Hashanah Dika Shabbos is not so bad to fast part of the day. Rosh Hashanah Dika Shabbos is Nishkafel. Rosh Hashanah Dika Shabbos, you can go those extra couple of hours and you don't have to feel guilty about not quite getting in the meal or getting in the Kiddush, etc. before Chatzos. So I think that's the minigun in most of the shuls that anybody else, but we're not planning before Chatzos. I'm not telling you what time it will end, but it's not on the goal. It's not an ambition to end after before Chatzos to get everybody home and to have their Suda. Before Chatzos, that we are making that the same cool that we rely on Rosh Hashanah on a weekday, one can rely on Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos as well. There is a very famous minig that's associated, of course, with primarily Rosh Hashanah. Many people follow it on Rosh Hashanah. Some people do it on the Sefer Tshuva. That's the minig of saying Tashlich. So there are more already quotes this custom of going to the water and to saying Tashlich, etc. So the poskim point out that when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, so one should not say Tashlich on Shabbos. We should push off the Tashlich until the next day. What's the goal of that? What's wrong with saying the Tashlich? So we're afraid that lest the person carry shalakidin, not a lot of carrying Shabbos. We're afraid that a person may carry shalakidin. What in the world is the person going to be carrying? It's going to be a problem. He's going to be carrying a machzor. We're not concerned that he's going to carry anything else because you're not supposed to carry anything. What in the world would a person dream of carrying the tashlich? So I'm well aware of the fact that some people have this interesting idea. He's supposed to carry bread with you to tashlich and to throw it to the fish or something. So that minig is really shalakidin. There are many, many potential pitfalls are involved in that minig of throwing bread to the fish for tashlich. But first of all, it's against the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that you're not supposed to feed wild animals, wild fish on Yontif because we're afraid, that if you start to feed the animals, you may come to trap the animals. You're not allowed to trap, even if you want to go, even if you want to eat the fish, you're not allowed to go fishing on Yontif. The Rishonim have a big question, why not? Why isn't that called Echol Nefesh? I want to go fishing to have a piece of salmon for lunch. So why is that not Echol Nefesh? That's a good question, very, very good question. But the Maaseh says, bottom line is, now they go fishing on Yontif. So even on a regular Yontif, forget about Shabbos, on a regular Yontif, you're not supposed to go fishing and you're not allowed to even feed the fish. So to feed the fish is clear. If you have private fish in your own fish tank at home, that you're responsible to feed, that you're allowed to feed. To go to the river, to go to the lake, to go to the stream, and to go throw food to the fish, so that's your like you did. There are other issues in terms of carrying the fish, etc., other potential problems. So therefore, one should not be carrying any food to the fish on Rosh Hashanah, but one usually carries a matzah or a tashlik or something, something to say the text of the tashlik. So because of this concern, the post came right that the minig was not to say tashlich and Shabbos, even though most of the towns in Europe had Erevin, but the Erevin wouldn't go all the way to the river. The river was in the outskirts of the city. The river was always past the Erev lines, so they were concerned that people would forget that Shabbos would end up carrying their matzah. We stopped Kishon for that reason. We should refrain from tashlich. So that's what the post can say. That's what the minig is, to recite tashlich on the second ever Shabbos this year. There's a general question about reciting tashlich, about some people like to push off tashlich to say tshuva, they don't like all the crowds. Okay, so that's a different issue all year long, other years, it's a unique issue now. Hopefully there won't be any crowds. The person wants to follow the minig of saying tashlich and Rosh Hashanah, they should go to a place where nobody else is around, go to a time where no one else is there. So, for obvious reasons, besides the danger reasons of the particular situation we're in, it's never a good idea to go stam and mas to tashlich and other people. Tashlich is not a social event. So, but again, in terms of the pure minig, so the minig is not to take tashlich on Shabbos, it's actually to push you off till the next day. Again, those who say it. The rest of the says that you were saying it later in the week. But you see clear from this minig that existed in Europe that they didn't say tashlich on Shabbos, but they did say tashlich on Yontif. That means they were carrying the Mazorim in Yontif. Because of the whole goal of not saying tashlich on Shabbos is to avoid carrying the Mazorim. You see that on Shabbos, there's nothing wrong. I'm sorry, on Yontif, there's nothing wrong with carrying Mazorim. What could possibly be wrong? You're allowed to carry Yontif. Not so simple. You're allowed to carry Yontif, according to many Mishonim, if it's for Tzarech Hayom. So there's a Machlokes Rashi and tells us, is that statement even true? Rashi and Beit, a few days holds, that you're really allowed to carry for anything and everything. Whatever you want, whether you need it, you don't need it. Carrying is Mutter on Yontif. The Tais disagrees, Tais holds that it's only Mutter to carry Yontif, Minat Torah, if there's some kind of a Tzarech Hayom. It doesn't have to be food, but it has to be some legitimate Tzarech Hayom. It could be a shofar, it could be a lulav, it could be a baby carriage. It has to be a legitimate tzarech hayom. So this is a question, we spoke about this question in the past. How do you determine what's called a tzarech hayom? Tashlich. That's a tzarech hayom. And it's the rice, and it's the rabbanim. What's the grandiose tzarech of saying tashlich? The minig of saying tashlich? Maybe. So there are different opinions whether the carrying of the matzah would be just. How do we understand that practice? Of carrying the matzah with tashlich. Clearly, that was the minig in Europe. Haraya, they didn't say it on Shabbos, they said it on Yontif, even though they were clearly going out of the Eruv. So they did assume in Europe, the Rabbanim in Europe assumed that it's okay to carry a matzah out of the Eruv. So maybe this is the reason why it's permissible is, even though saying tashlich itself is not such a significant thing, but it is derech tefillah. So derech tefillah is always an important thing. Davening is an important thing. Especially on Rosh Hashanah, it's an Eis Ratzon, it's an Eis Tzara. It's a special time of tefillahs. So even if the recitation of the particular Ram and Tzadik Bashem, the particular word of the Tashlich are not so critical, but it's still not doing to daven. So anytime that you're doing something to enhance your talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam, you're having another, the added tefillah Rosh Hashanah, maybe that's the Tzarech Hayom. So it's not clear exactly what justifies the carrying for Tashlich, but it would seem that it's justified. It would seem that that was the custom in Europe, that's the custom today, Okay, most of our places have Erev. Anyway, but even those who end up walking past the Erev, so probably would be able to justify it based on the idea that some kind of derech tefillah, some kind of tzorech hayom, at least to some extent. When you have a Rosh Hashanah Shechel B'Shabbos, or when, for that matter, when you have any of the Yom Tishkas B'Shabbos, so it's going to lead into a Motzei Shabbos as well. So when you have 2 days Yom, unless Shabbos is the last day of the second day of the Yom, so that can only happen on either Achron Shel Pesach and Chutzlaretz, or it can happen on Saturday Shavuos and Chutzlaretz. So most of the time, very often when you have a Yom and Shabbos, it's the first day, it's the Deraisa day that's on Shabbos. So now it leads into the second day. So in Chutzlaretz, that's going to happen to us 3 times in a row. Shana Sukkot and Shilas Torah. And there's Israel, it's only going to happen once. In Israel, there is no second day of Sukkot, no last day of Shilas Torah. But even in Eretz Yisrael, they have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. So there is going to be a Shabbos leading into a regular Yom Tov. The Mishnah tells us that whenever you have a Shabbos leading into a Yom Tov, you have to recite Abdullah because you're going down in Kedusha. Abdullah is not only being Kodesh L'chol, but Abdullah is being Kodesh L'Kodesh as well. Since you're going down to Kedusha, that has to reflect itself in the Lashon and the Nusach of the Abdullah. So what should that Nusach of Abdullah be? How are you Mavdil? And you go from Shabbos to Yom Tov, you can't say Malbim Kersh, you can't say Bracha Ter Malbim Kersh L'chol. That's not appropriate. So what can you say at the end of the Bracha? Mark quotes a Machalikis, I don't know, one time it says, you say Malbim Kersh Chom L'Kersh Kal. Praise Hashem who differentiates between the very, very high level of Kedusha and the lower level of Kedusha. Because the truth is, that's what Shabbos and Yom Tov is. Shabbos is a higher level. Kedusha always reflects itself in things you're not allowed to do. So you're not a cook on Shabbos, not a carrying Shabbos, out of the air. So the things you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, you are allowed to do on Yom Tov. So one Tana says, you have to express that. So the other Tanaim said, no, that's not a good idea. That's going to lead to a zilzul of Yom Tov. People are going to say, we just called the Kodesh Kal, the little guy, the irrelevant person. That's not so nice. So therefore, we leave it kind of hanging. We said, Malvin Kodesh le Kodesh. We praise the Kodesh Baruch Hu for separating between Kedusha and Kedusha. We all know in our heart that the second Kedusha is a little bit lower, but off the screw from the rooftops. So that's what our practice is. We say, Malvin Kodesh le Kodesh. The post can point out that this is especially important for women. A lot of women don't necessarily daven Ma'ariv. Many women try to daven on Rosh Hashanah, please, but many women don't have a chance. Thank you, have little kids, whatever, they don't have a chance to daven Ma'ariv. So very often, or the women are going to want to start to prepare ready for the second night. They're ready to start to light candles, they're ready to start to set the table, they're ready to start to cooking. The problem is that you're not allowed to do malacha, that you're not allowed to do a Shabbos. Whatever you can't do on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do until you hear Avdola. So what are the women going to do? So they're going to sit around and wait an hour and a half till the men come home before they start getting to the table set. So that's not going to be right. So they have to recite Abdullah. So they don't have to recite Abdullah like Kos. They don't have to make a full text of Abdullah. And they don't even have to daven Ma'ariv. They just have to say, Baruch Hamav Dilbein, Kodesh Le Kodesh. Because they shouldn't say Bein Kodesh L'chol. They should say Bein Kodesh Le Kodesh. Because the same way that when you recite Abdullah like Kos, so you highlight the Kodesh Le Kodesh. So in that mini text of Abdullah, it's also being Kodesh Le Kodesh. Now you have a second night Yom Tov coming off the heels of Shabbos. So that creates a whole new set of issues because once the second night of Yom Tov comes, so now you have to treat it again with all the chumras of Yom Tov. So we have to have the Kiddush again, we have to have the Sud again, we're going to blow shofar, we're going to daven all the tefillos and everything. We'll do exactly the first day, we're going to do the second day. Yom Tov Sheni of Rosh Hashanah is even more chomer than regular Yom Tov Sheni of Golias. It applies in Eretz Yisrael, it's Kedush Achas, it's Vaday, a lot of chumras that we have in Rosh Hashanah, which are even a higher level of Kedusha than a regular Yom Tov Sheni. But at the end of the day, we're going to repeat what we're doing. And because we're about to sit down and eat a second night Yom Tov Suda, that puts things into potential problems for the previous day. Namely, Mishnah says in the beginning of the 10th Perek of Psachim that before the Leil HaSeder, you're not supposed to eat late in the afternoon because you're going to be stuffed. You're not going to want to eat the matzah, you know, with a lot of gishmak, with a good appetite. So this machlekes afternoon, does that apply to regular Shabbos and Yom Tov also? So we paskin that not really, but lechatchila we do. It means it's not appropriate at 5 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday afternoon to sit down and have a suda. It's not appropriate at every Yom Tov to sit down and have a suda. The Ika Mikra did, it's only a problem Erev Pesach, according to many Erev Sukkot also, but because of this comparison between Sukkot and Pesach. On a regular Erev Yom Tov, it's not such a serious problem. But it's a lechatchila. You're not really supposed to do it. But for that reason that the Magen Avraham writes, that when you have 2 days of Yom Tov, like Rosh Hashanah or Sukkot, Shabbos, Chutz La'aretz, So on the first day in the afternoon, you should really try not to have a big meal. It's not right to sit down 5 o'clock in the afternoon and have a big suda, because that's going to detract from the second night's yontif suda. When should you stop having the meal? Samach min chiktana. It means approximately 3 halachic hours before shkia. So the shkia today was, again, approximately around 7 o'clock. So that would mean approximately around 4 o'clock. Why don't you try not to have a, really sit down and wash, have a suda before 4 o'clock on Friday afternoon. That's the proper practice. So the Magen Avraham says, this Shabbos, you shouldn't sit down and have a suda after 4 o'clock either. Because doing that will detract, it's going to take away a little bit from the suda of Motzoi Shabbos, which is only the second night of Yontif. Okay, great. So who's going to want to have a suda at 4 o'clock in the afternoon? Here's the problem. The problem is the Shabbos. And Shabbos is the first day requires Shal Shudas. There's a chiyuv to eat suda shlishis on Shabbos. Yontif is a machlekes rishonim. And meaning is not to eat Shal Shudas on Yontif, but not machlekes too. Shabbos, of course, you have to eat Shal Shudas. So when exactly is the Shal Shudas going to take place? So here we finished davening at 1 o'clock. Yeah, we got home at 1:30. You sat down and ate lunch at 2 o'clock. And you benched at 3:30. And then we're telling everybody, by the way, you have to have suda shlishis in the next 10 minutes. Right? So you have to try to chacham in Barosho. You have to try to start lunch a little bit early. Not the time to trade the charam. You should try to get lunch started as soon as you can, as soon as davening is over. You should have lunch and then take a little bit of a break. You can't bench at 3 o'clock and then have a suda 3 or 5. You should have a little bit of a hesek. So learn a few minutes, take walk a little bit, learn a few a little bit. So whatever you do, you should make a little bit of a hesek. It shouldn't be a shot of a brach shad tzricha, and then immediately try to follow that with suda shlish. So that's really the proper practice to do. If for whatever reason that didn't happen, the person finds themselves 5, 6 o'clock in the afternoon in Shabbos and never got around to having their shlishes, so then they can eat it then also. Try not to have a big suda, a little suda, lions, whatever it is, but technically you could have it. But l'chadchila, the more correct thing to do it, whenever you have these Shabbos yontifs, is you want a chab shal shuddas, and the other day you don't want it to be too late. Going back to the Havdalah story, so when we make Havdalah on this Lutzei Shabbos, so it's going to still be yontif, so we have to be very, very careful that we shouldn't violate any of these three yontif for the purposes of Abdullah. Particularly, we shouldn't violate the issue of the nair. We shouldn't light an unnecessary candle. That the Gemara says, like a chili is supposed to make Abdullah and Abdullah candle, a special avukah, like a torch, with multiple wicks to it. That's like a hidden mitzvah. So that's the question. Do you have a right to light a special Abdullah candle on yontif? That's very, very shaky. Two reasons. First of all, who says that's enough of a tzorech to light a fire? Number two, you're not allowed to extinguish, you're not allowed to blow out a fire on Yontif. So you're going to light a candle. When you do it, hold on to it for the rest of the day. So therefore, it's not recommended to light an extra Havdalah candle this Mitzvah Shabbos. The best thing to do is to use the Yontif candles. Ready? Use those candles to recite the bracha of the Bar Mer'esh as part of the Havdalah. Again, we want to fulfill Havdalah properly, but we don't want to do it at the expense of violating anything in terms of the Yisur of regular dinner of the Yisur of Yontif. So again, we spoke a little bit about some of the nuances of Shabbos and Yontif when they coincide together. I think it's almost like the important thing to remember. You know, Yontif, we all get very, very excited about, and rightfully so. Yontif happens once a year, Mashana once a year, the Sukkot once a year, Pesach once a year. We have a lot of excitement, and that's good. That's a great, wonderful thing. But at the end of the day, in the hierarchy of Halacha, there is absolutely no question that Shabbos is considerably more significant than Yontif. The onesh, the punishment for Chilul Shabbos, definitely bears this out. The Kedushas Hayom bears this out, where things you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, that you are allowed to do on Yontif, which is exactly why we recite Havdalah when you go down in Kedusha. When you have a Yontif going to Shabbos, there's no Havdalah. You only make Havdalah when you're going down, not when you're going up. So clearly Shabbos is more significant. It's perhaps a good time for these next couple of 3 weeks to really reinforce that. As great and as chashuv as how much we love Yontif, which of course we do, but just to realize, it almost puts Shabbos back into where its proper position is. The significance that we grant Yontif should indicate to us that Shabbos ultimately trumps everything. And of course, the proof positive of the absolute significance of Shabbos, even over Yontif, clearly all the different things that we do in Rosh Hashanah, all the davening and the tashlichs and the minhagim and the sudas and the sed, it's all important. It's all halach, some halach, some minhagim, it's all very, very important. There is no question whatsoever that the most significant mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah is missing. That's the Kiyas Shofar. Hands down, the Kiyas Shofar is the most important thing you do on Rosh Hashanah. And yet, you don't blow Shofar. Why? Because that one, maybe the one guy is going to make a mistake and carry and violate Chilul Shabbos. So Chazal are willing to uproot the entire Kiyas Shofar. All the clients, so nobody blows Shofar, in order to for people to understand just how significant the Kiddush Shabbos is all about. It's a good lesson this particular week as we sit down, Mitzvah Shem, to our Shabbos meal, our Yom Tov meal, and our Shabbos Kiddush, our Yom Tov Kiddush, and our Shabbos Davar, and we all rolled into one to reinforce for ourselves and for our children just how Kaddush, just how special, besides the special uniqueness of the gift of the Yom Tov, and how special that Rishon the Great Kaddush, the Shabbos, which ultimately is the engine that drives the Kedusha of all the other days. I wish everybody a Sivus HaTayva, I wish you have a wonderful Shabbos and a wonderful Yom Tov, and I'll forget the Shem. We'll be in touch after the question. Now we're unmuted. Oh, we're about the only people left. Speaker, you're meeting.